Picture a glider on the ramp at first light. Long wings, clean lines, the kind of airframe that usually asks the sky for a tow or a thermal to earn its altitude. Now imagine it rolling forward under its own power, and you standing 30 feet away straining to hear it. That is the moment worth talking about today. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Tower, and this is ATs, the show where I take the headlines off the wire and tell you what they actually mean when you strap in. Today we're talking about a small airplane that just made a big statement, and about the word that keeps coming up whenever the future of electric flight gets discussed. That word is quiet. Before we get into it, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Here's what you need to know. According to AVWeb, a company called Whisper Aero has flown its electric Swift Glider on 3 piloted flights. And those flights mark the beginning of real-world testing for the thing this company is actually built around? Not the glider, the propulsion. Whisper Aero is testing an electric ducted fan system, and the Swift airframe is the flying test bench they chose to put it on. Let me slow down and unpack that, because the headline doesn't tell the whole story. Most of the electric airplanes you've heard about spin a propeller, a big, open, slow-turning propeller driven by an electric motor instead of a piston engine or a turbine. That's the papistrol approach. That's the approach most of the trainers and the air taxi concepts have taken. And it makes sense, because a propeller is efficient, and it's well understood, and we've been building them for well over a century. Whisper Aero went a different direction. They went with a ducted fan. Now, a ducted fan is exactly what it sounds like. Instead of an open propeller out in the free air, you take a fan, a lot of blades, and you wrap a shroud, a duct, all the way around it. If you've seen a turbofan engine hanging under an airliner, the big fan you see when you walk down the jet bridge, that's the same family of idea. A many-bladed fan spinning inside a housing. Ducted fans are not new. Model airplane folks have flown electric ducted fans for years. The military has used them. But here's the thing that makes Whisper Aero interesting, and it's right there in the company name. Their entire pitch is that they figured out how to make a ducted fan that is dramatically quieter than anything comparable. The way they describe it, and this is the company's own claim, so I'll flag it as their claim, is that by using a large number of small fan blades spinning at the right speed inside a carefully shaped duct, you push the sound the fan makes up into frequencies that human ears don't hear well, and that the atmosphere itself absorbs more quickly. In plain terms, you don't just make it softer. You shift the noise into a register that fades faster and bothers people less. Why does that matter? Why is a company pouring years of engineering into making a fan quiet? This affects you if you've ever watched a good airport get squeezed by the neighborhood around it. Think about it. Noise is the number one reason communities fight airports. Noise is why we have curfews, why we have preferred runways, why we have noise abatement departure procedures that have you turning and reducing power at 500 feet over somebody's backyard. Noise complaints have closed reliever airports. Noise is the political fuel behind half the fights we cover on this show about whether a field stays open. So when a company says we have built a propulsion system that is genuinely measurably quiet, they are not just chasing a cool engineering trophy, they are aiming straight at the thing that limits where and when aircraft are allowed to fly. And that ambition goes well beyond one little glider. Whisper Aero has been public about wanting to put this ducted fan technology into a lot of places. Small drones for delivery and observation, where a quiet aircraft can operate over a community without generating a wall of complaints. Larger uncrewed aircraft, and eventually the kind of small short-hop passenger aircraft that a lot of companies are dreaming about for regional and advanced air mobility. The fan is the product. Everything else is a place to bolt it. That's why these 3 flights matter more than the size of the airplane would suggest. Let me talk about the airframe they chose, because there's a smart bit of engineering strategy hiding in it. The Swift is a well-known airframe in the soaring and light aircraft world. It's a sleek, high-performance glider design, the kind of thing that's been flown both as a pure sailplane and in self-launching motorized versions. When you're a propulsion company and you want to prove your motor and fan work in the real world, the last thing you want to do is design a brand new airplane at the same time. That's 2 enormous, expensive, risky problems stacked on top of each other. So you take a proven, efficient, docile airframe that already flies beautifully, and you graft your new propulsion onto it. Now, when something surprises you in flight testing, and something always surprises you in flight testing, you know, it's the new part, the propulsion, and not some quirk of an unproven wing. You've isolated the variable. That's not a shortcut. That's how good flight test programs are designed, and 3 piloted flights. Let's talk about that number, because it's a small number, and it's the right kind of small. 3 flights is the very front edge of a flight test program. This is not a company telling you the airplane is ready for the market. This is a company telling you the airplane left the ground under this new power, with a human being aboard making decisions, and it came back and did it again and again. First flights are about the basics. Does it make the power we predicted? Does it handle the way we modeled? Does anything get hot, vibrate, or behave in a way the simulations didn't warn us about? Do the batteries, the controllers, the cooling, all of it survive contact with the real atmosphere? Getting to 3 piloted flights means the first one didn't hand them a nasty surprise big enough to stop the program. In this business, that is a genuine milestone, and it's worth acknowledging without overselling it. Now let me put my headphones on straight and give you the context a pilot actually cares about. Because I don't want anybody driving to the field expecting to fly one of these next month. Here's what a program like this does not yet mean. It does not mean this is a certified aircraft. There is no type certificate here. This is experimental flight test work, the kind that happens under carefully controlled conditions with a test pilot, telemetry, chase planning, and a flight envelope that gets expanded one careful step at a time. It does not tell us the range or the endurance you could count on, because early flights are short by design. You don't go chase maximum endurance on flight number 2. You fly the pattern, you gather data, you land, and you pull the whole airplane apart and look at it. And it does not answer the question that haunts every electric aircraft program, which is energy. Batteries are heavy, and they don't get lighter as you use them the way a tank of Avgids does. A ducted fan historically has been thirstier than an open propeller when you measure raw efficiency, because you're paying an energy price to push air through that duct. Whisper Aero's whole argument is that their design recovers enough of that, and buys you enough in noise and in packaging and in safety to be worth it. These flights are the beginning of proving or disproving that argument with real numbers instead of slides. So that's the honest ledger. A real milestone, real airplane, real pilot, real data, and a long, long road still ahead before any of it touches your logbook. Let me widen the lens for a minute because this story doesn't stand alone. We are living through the noisiest chapter in the history of quiet flight, if you'll forgive the contradiction. There is more money, more engineering talent, and more genuine flying hardware aimed at electric propulsion right now than at any point I can remember. Some of it is going to work, a lot of it is not. That's how every technology revolution goes. The airplane itself went through it, general aviation went through it. Every one of those eras left behind a graveyard of good ideas that ran out of runway before they ran out of ambition. What makes the quiet angle interesting to me is that it attacks a problem that money alone hasn't solved. We already know how to make aircraft. We've gotten astonishingly good at making them safe and efficient. What we have never fully cracked is making them welcome, making an aircraft that can operate over a town day and night without the community underneath it reaching for the phone or the ballot box. If, and it's a real if, a propulsion system can genuinely change how loud we are, that doesn't just help one company sell one airplane. That changes the argument at every zoning meeting, every airport board, every fight over hours of operation. That's the prize that's actually being chased here, and it's bigger than the little glider it's riding on. So what should you do with this news? For most of us, the answer is simple. Watch it, file it, don't bet your flying future on it, and don't dismiss it either. Here's how I'd frame it. When you see a story like this, ask 3 questions. First, is there a real airplane that really flew with a real pilot? In this case, yes. That already puts it ahead of a great many press releases that never leave a hangar or a rendering. Second, are the claims being tested or just asserted? This program is moving from assertion toward testing, which is exactly the direction you want to see. And third, does the technology solve a problem that actually limits us today? Noise absolutely does. So this one clears all 3 of my bars for paying attention without clearing the bar for booking a demo flight. And I'll say this to the skeptics, and I count myself a friendly one. It is easy, when you've been around aviation for a while, to roll your eyes at every electric announcement. We've all seen the cycle. But the honest position isn't cynicism and it isn't hype. The honest position is to keep score. To notice when a company does the unglamorous work, choosing a proven airframe, flying it with a pilot, instead of just a computer, building up flight by flight. That's the behavior of people trying to actually learn something, not just trying to make a headline. Whether the physics ultimately cooperates, we'll find out. But the process here is the real thing. And process is what separates the programs that fly from the programs that fold. One more thought before I let you go, and it's the one I keep coming back to. A glider is the oldest idea in powered flight. In a way, it's the airframe stripped down to the pure act of staying up. And here's a company using that oldest, quietest kind of airplane to test the propulsion they hope makes the future quiet too. There's something fitting in that. The whole promise of soaring is silence, the wind over the canopy and nothing else. Maybe the future of powered flight ends up borrowing a little of that. Wouldn't that be something? An airplane you have to strain to hear. That story came off the wire from AV Web, with the technical details on the flights and the propulsion coming from Whisper Aero's own reporting. And I'd point you to AV Web for the full write-up. If you want the links and the rest of today's headlines, they're waiting for you at radiohanger.com. Keep your eyes up and your expectations honest. This is Tower, signing off from ATIS.